Good morning. I've told my story before, but each new year brings news. I've had a lifetime of art. Along the way, there have been lots of surprises about the effects art has on people, both being around art and doing art. I learned how you can create your own art and use it for your own benefits. And it doesn't have to be Rembrandt quality, and you don't have to hire anyone. You can do it yourself. Art and design, what are they? Colors and shapes arranged in a certain way. Here's a little tidbit of information about how colors and shapes influence us. A tidbit the size of a pill. Researchers found that a transparent pill filled with colored beads, especially colored beads, not white beads, works better to relieve pain than colored tablets, which work better than square tablets with the corners missing, which work better than round tablets. Lucky me, I got to go to art school and play with colors and designs all day, and then do homework and play some more with colors and designs. I received a rigorous art training at the School of the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, copying old master paintings in the guarded attic of the museum, where they stored valuable paintings. People tell me to call it an atelier, but I was there. It was an attic. We had to create copies that were different size than the original paintings so the guards could meticulously measure them when we left to make sure it was the copies that left every day. That was how technical painting skills were acquired. We learned to manipulate paint to make a flat surface come alive with color so a peach would look three-dimensional, so real that you could smell it. So that a fiery sunset and those rolling purple hills could look miles away, deep, deep into the distance, with just paint on a flat canvas. Plus commercial design, logos and advertising design taught me the subliminal effects of art. Commercial art's where people expect the subliminal messages, but I soon discovered a connection between fine art and commercial design through murals. People ask me, well, where was your first mural? Any ideas? Still as a teenager, my first mural commission was in a Boston hospital psychiatric ward. For 2 weeks, I painted lush green foliage, garden foliage, all over the walls while patients sat in wheelchairs in the middle of a totally bare room, which was called the rec room. Their shaved heads were covered with stitches and scars. They sat motionless and silent while watching me paint. Other patients were moaning in the halls. It was a sobering 2 weeks. Was my garden mural going to help them at all? Today I know that doing art and being around certain types of art, particularly depicting nature, has a relaxing effect which boosts our immune system and does help us to heal. 20 years after painting that first mural, I read studies that confirmed that surgery patients had shorter recovery time and requested less pain medication when they recovered in a room with a garden view. Well, not everyone can have a garden view, but perhaps a mural of one will help, or a photo, or a painting. By the way, you can do this with your own creations, or even the art of your grandchildren. The primitive quality of art works too. To this day, I wonder how that garden mural affected the psychiatric patients. The experience certainly affected me. In order to develop more meaningful skills, I researched how art can affect people in so many ways. When I came to Palm Desert, a career of painting murals was a dream come true. I was very fortunate, busy painting murals with tiny brushes, like in the museum atelier, plus huge brushes and rollers, and I was climbing up and down scaffolding, creating murals and paintings for resorts, restaurants, and more hospitals. I did not realize how precious this was, like a fish in water, having one flow experience after another. Working 7 days a week, because I wasn't working. I was having relaxing experiences with each brushstroke. There was no need for a day off. Painting does that for you. The pressure of a silky brush pushing the buttery smooth paint across the taut cotton canvas, blending blues with reds to create the magic of purple. I was making others happy by creating relaxing environments. Life was good. I was comfortable, ready for a turning point. One day, the director of pathology at Eisenhower Medical Center contacted me to design and paint 20 huge wall graphics to illustrate the tests performed in the lab where technicians worked behind the scenes while patients were undergoing surgery. All throughout the lab, I painted test tubes with animated letters inside, colorful radiation symbols emanating from a clock, a 4-foot-tall microscope. The job of the lab technicians was to work long shifts, inhumanely long shifts, analyzing blood tests and transferring data to the surgeons while patients were undergoing surgery. All day and all night. These lab techs needed to perform well and be in good moods to do their job well. Patients' lives depended on it. The mural project turned out to be more than just a pretty picture, because a few months later, after the murals were finished, the director of the lab told me there was a remarkable difference in employee morale. This news was a delightful surprise to everyone, and that was a turning point for me. Time to study the finer points of psychology of color and design. What does this mean to all of us? Advertisers use color and design to make us act and feel a certain way, basically to make us feel insufficient and motivate us to buy products to feel better about ourselves. We can do better than that. We can use these tools, color and design, for our own benefit by selecting paintings and photos that make us feel good, even creating them ourselves. We need to take a closer look to be mindful of our surroundings, of the art and the color that we see and feel every day, and make sure they provide positive contributions to our day. We can talk about the details of creating subliminal effects, but for now, rely on your own gut feelings. It could make a difference in the color of your day, the color of your life. Advertisers have been doing it for years. They're still doing it, so it must be working. Again, one of my favorites is the room with the garden view, shortening recovery time and asking for less pain medication. The color of walls affects the behavior of prisoners. You've probably heard that. And the color of a tablecloth can encourage people to order more food. Anything's possible. Colors, shapes, subject matter, these visual cues have impact on us, and I call them hidden persuaders. Why not use them for our own benefit on our own walls? No need to spend money, you can do it yourself. So how do we create a relaxing environment with murals, paintings, or your photographs? Starting with colors, it would be soft colors, pastels, cool colors, blues and greens. Familiar subject matter, nature is the best relaxer. Open spaces, not imagery that feels crowded or dominating. The abstract qualities would be horizontal compositions, graceful curves. So the more of those elements you have, the more of a relaxing effect an artwork will have, or photograph. To create stimulating and energizing effects, simply the elements would be pretty much the opposite of what I just listed. With careful thought, we can get the effect we want for work, personal, and even philanthropic goals. More recently, the director of a memory care facility nearby contacted me to create murals to enhance life skill stations. The director said the purpose of life skill stations is to reduce patient medication. This was a dream come true for me after researching ways to make my work more meaningful. In this memory care facility, several different environments were created that were familiar to the patient's past. When dementia patients become agitated, instead of medicating them, the staff immediately takes them to a life skill station and turns their attention to the activities at hand. The life skill stations trigger memories from the past. The walls that I painted around those life skill stations were to help activate those memories. A small office area was created with a real roll-top desk. On the wall above the desk, I painted a bookshelf with memorabilia that would be familiar, a Statue of Liberty souvenir, a Babe Ruth autographed baseball, a snow globe, items to create moments of deja vu for people of this age group. There was a clothing area with a mural depicting a poodle skirt, a station with a crib surrounded by a fairy tale with castles and a lush beanstalk climbing up to the ceiling with Peter Rabbit and his friends nearby, all to help remember family moments that were precious, all to help soothe the spirit and replace using medication. The director firmly believes in these life skill stations. She told me several true stories how people afflicted with dementia were helped by them, even her own mother. She told me that when dementia patients come to these stations, it's like turning a switch in their heads. It happens so fast. Their agitation disappears as soon as they engage in this familiar nostalgic activity. While listening to the director, a thought came to me. While she's telling me the stories, I'm also thinking, aren't we supposed to avoid living in the past? Better to train ourselves to live in the moment? Isn't that the path to a real wise life? Yes, but a wise and mindful life does not look possible for these folks who can be plagued with this agitation that the caregivers speak of. In this case, I learned that the agitation word is a euphemism they use for violent outbursts and uncontrollable anger. So let's change tack for a moment. Doing art. Creating art has surprise benefits for every one of us. For my young art students, those children who struggle with school, art can be the one thing they look forward to all day, the thing that gets them to school in the morning. It's recess for the brain for all ages. My adult students tell me, when I draw, I feel happy. And they tell me how relaxing it is for them to draw, to paint, to blend and mix colors with pastels. Time stands still, they say, as they create and they tap into a deeper part of themselves. Like meditation, they're able to immerse themselves in the moment. Art makes it easier to access this flow experience, especially for those who have difficulty meditating. Art provides an accessible alternative. It changes the landscape of your mind. Plus, it's a wonderful source of stimulation, self-discovery. It helps us focus. The list of benefits is actually a lot longer than that. Last week on KPBS, there was mention of Winston Churchill, who became an accomplished artist. Painting gave him a refuge to help him cope with depression. It helped him look at things differently, through a different perspective, and to move forward with many of the problems he was facing. At nearby La Vida Del Mar, one woman in particular was taking art lessons from me. When 10 lessons were over, Marie's daughter contacted me to continue the lessons. Her daughter told me that a year before, prior to my lessons, Marie had had a massive brain stroke. The daughter hired me to continue these lessons because she noticed that her mom's communication skills were much better after the art lessons. Marie noticed it. Her doctor even noticed this. She even told her friends to schedule their phone conversations with her mom right after the art lessons because that day her communication skills and verbal skills were so much better. So even for those of us who believe in preventative, if we haven't had a stroke or don't know someone with a stroke, being around art and doing art can be good for us in so many ways we have no clue. So let's do it. The past 20 years, I've been painting murals, plus teaching, which has been another turning point, adults and children classes. It's been eye-opening for me. The kids just go at it, and you can't stop them. Adults are more reserved. Many of them are. Some adults are still kids, and they just go to it right away. But after a lifetime of being adult and not doing much art, it takes some guts. Many of my adult students tell me that they're finally going to try drawing and taking an art class. They put it on their bucket list. I hear story after story from my adult students about being told by a relative or an art teacher that they're not talented. One adult student of mine told me her art teacher took her drawing away and said she should not be in the class. I still hear these stories sometimes. It's amazing. That's enough to stop anyone in their tracks and close that door forever. Has a door been closed for many of the rest of us? But not to worry. From my years in the atelier of the museum in Boston, I learned we don't need talent. We don't need talent to learn techniques. The techniques are like following a recipe, a very intriguing recipe, for these recipes are of the mind, training our mind, not our eyes so much, but our mind to perceive in a new way. This creates mindfulness, and we need patience like learning to ski. If we're not falling, we're not learning to ski, so we need to be willing to make mistakes. But really, we don't need those techniques at all. A visit to any museum or gallery is proof of that. We may wonder where all the technique went. Ever find yourself saying to yourself, what is that doing on the museum wall? Art can be about color, it can be about mood, concept, and especially about the artist. That's you. It's self-expression, so we do not need technique. We can learn techniques if we wish, but we do not need it. We just need a willingness to take risks, explore, and accept ourselves for who we are. So why aren't we all doing some kind of art? I can see in my students, in my adult students, that they've been waiting a long time to finally get around to doing this strange and wonderful thing called art. We often save it for the kids, and the kids waste no time grabbing a pencil, a crayon, or a brush. They get it. Plus, we live in a special culture of specialists, where it seems one has to have a special stake or a credential in the arts in order to call oneself an artist at all, or to say yes to their creativity. Not so. That attitude's not fair, and it's not so. Are we denying ourselves the opportunity to express ourselves, to discover ourselves, to have fun? Is it fear of doing something wrong that holds us back? Once that fear is out of the way, creativity will spring up. Let's not cling to our thoughts about results. Let's not judge what we do. Just do. That practice in itself, to do anything at all without judging ourselves, is a whole adventure in itself. We should all be tapping into our creative abilities and unleashing our imaginations in as many ways as possible. We're on this planet for a relatively short time. Why not learn more about the gifts we have? Creating art, by the way, we could be talking about music, dancing, photography, so many ways to be creative. Pick one. Doing art brings mindfulness to every day. It helps people focus and concentrate, to access deeper inner states and insights. When we're drawing or painting an object, say a leaf or a flower petal, we caress every inch of it with our eyes. Every line, every curve, every shadow, every sparkle of light. The flower petal becomes the object of meditation. We touch the flower petal, and the flower petal touches us. That's where the magic is. And life changes in delightful ways. Over time, it really does. Doing art improves our observation skills. Noticing the patterns and highlights we see in a painting, before we know it, we're noticing more patterns and highlights all around us in other beauties. What we see on a daily basis becomes more interesting, and this happens, and we become more aware. we can take time for a deep breath and enjoy more often, the cup more half full. It may not happen overnight, so enjoying it as a process is what counts. As the moments and months go by, paying more attention to art transforms how we see the world. Like taking time to smell the roses, we notice more roses, and are more mindful of many more delightful details all around us. We start to live in the moment more and more. I find this really works. For some of us, art means a pretty picture or a moment of relaxation. For a director of a pathology lab, it means employee morale. For many youth in San Diego County who are hanging on to life by a thread due to homelessness, cancer, abuse, art is a moment of peace in the eye of a hurricane. Art is a reason to survive. ARTS is acronym for A Reason to Survive. An organization that you've just learned specializes in providing artistic expression for disadvantaged youth. Another way to experience a deeper connection to yourself and others with art is to spend a few hours being with this youth while they splash paint, draw, dance, make music. Why not let them inspire you? So Catherine, Jenna, and Emma, we have three representatives today from arts. They get to wake up every morning and make a difference in the world. Your donations provide crayons, musical instruments, and now we've learned all kinds of therapeutic effects for them and job opportunities. Your valuable time with this organization, if you choose to help, will help them reach more children. So music, photography, dance, drawing, painting, taking time for art and helping others with art will add richness, much more richness that you don't expect. Within each of us is a power so great, and we're really too distracted to see it. Experiment. Try taking a step deeper. See what surprises are in store. Art gives us beauty. It gives us strength. Insight. So, do you work too hard? Do you think too much? Grab a brush, grab a crayon. Later today, grab a pastel. Be the artist you really are for an hour, a day. Start the rest of your life. See where it takes you. Quite likely, it will take you right where you are, though you did not recognize the place until you give yourself a chance to play in it.